He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
You guys are lucky today. You get double. We'll be reading first from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and then Mark chapter 1, 9 through 11. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go along and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down to pay him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." In Mark 1, 9 through 11. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" The Gospel of our Lord. So this is going to be a fun year. We have multiple days that overlap this year, such as Ash Wednesday is also Valentine's Day. Talk about a romantic day of reminding your spouse that they're going to die. Easter is also April Fool's Day. Guarantee you there's going to be a lot of jokes made by pastors that day. Good Friday is also my best friend's birthday. So when we were talking about that, he was like, "I don't know how I feel celebrating that day." And today we're combining 2 days that, although they are separate and different, they have a lot in common. Yesterday, we finished the Christmas season. I had a friend down in Florida. One day on my wall, he said, "You are on a one-man mission to remind people when Christmas is." Because every day I said, "Happy first day of Christmas, happy second day, happy third day," all through the 12 days of Christmas. And so we've come to the end of Christmas, and on yesterday was the celebration of Epiphany. And so we'll talk about that a little bit today. But today is also the Sunday designated in the church year to celebrate the baptism of Christ. And so we're going to kind of play double duty. But I think those 2 days go together really well. And so, like I said, the first day that we'll celebrate today is the celebration of the Epiphany. You'll notice our little manger scene. The wise men are finally at the manger. They're finally seeing the Christ child, which our little manger does well, because the baby Jesus actually looks more like a grown toddler in that. And the Magi would have got there when he was a toddler, roughly 2 to 3 years old. And so we're celebrating that they've come and they've arrived and they've given him gifts, and they've seen the Christ child. We celebrate this because this is a day that we recognize that the shepherds, who were the Jewish people, had come to worship Christ, we've now seen that the Gentiles, those that were not originally a part of Israel, have come and they've worshiped Christ. It's a bunch of pagan astrologers from, you know, God knows where, coming because they saw the star that had beckoned them to come and worship the King of all the cosmos. It's a good day to celebrate. We also celebrate the fact that Christ was baptized. This is the day that the church year has set aside. It's always the first Sunday after Epiphany to say, Christ has been baptized. Let us remember that and what it means for us. And so, although these events took place roughly 27 to 28 years apart, they pair well together, and I think they have a similar theme that can be looked at. And so one of the questions that I thought of as I was preparing for this Sunday was, well, what do they have in common? You know, we often compare them together. So what is it that they do well together? And I think the answer to that is they both reveal the grace and the love of God that extends to us before we could even imagine doing anything that would warrant them. As we reflect on the Magi, the wise men that came from the east, we're invited to see through the star in the sky that there have been those that have come to see the Christ child. And one of the questions, as I think about that, is, well, who exactly were invited through this miraculous cosmic event to come and worship the newborn king? And really, I mean, if you think how most of human history would think, you would think, okay, the king of the Jewish people, the people this would be revealed to would be the rabbis, the priests in the temples. But instead, it's revealed to a bunch of pagan astrologers from way out where. Which I think that says something about us even today, that the people that Christians probably would not have think to have understood it are the ones that come bearing gifts. They are the ones that were called. They are the ones that saw the star and picked up what it meant. They were the foreigners with strange ways who didn't quite fit in with anybody else in the area where they were coming to. And not only did they come, they also brought prophetic gifts. You know, one of the gifts was gold, which represented, you know, which scholars say it represented Christ's humanity and his kingship. Then the other brought incense, which, as many of us know, you light incense as prayers to God. And so the Magi were saying both, he is human, he is king, but also that he is to be worshipped as God. And as one of my favorite Christian church jokes go, but wait, there's myrrh. The best part of that joke is the groaning that comes. But wait, there's myrrh. They also brought him myrrh, which was used as a burial scent and a burial oil that they used to mask the scent of death for those that died and were buried in the tombs. And so they came knowing that not only was he God, he was also human, and that his death would mean something. So we see these strangers, these foreigners, these people that shouldn't get it, being the ones who do get it. Likewise, it's similar that the shepherds who came a few years earlier when Christ was first born, and the angels opened up the heavens and they rejoiced and proclaimed the birth, we see a bunch of shepherds, a bunch of poor, simple-minded field workers who at that time nobody would have thought very much about. They would have been just the everyday, they're the ones that keep things going. Not a whole lot is thought about them. The ones that are probably looked at as being nobodies, they're the ones that are told and join in the angelic proclamation of the birth of the Lord of all creation. So we have a bunch of pagan astrologers who, according to the religious customs of both the Jewish and even Christians today were doing everything wrong with the paganism, with the reading of the stars, with everything that didn't look right, to also the poor shepherds in the field that, according to the society and the elites, they were at the bottom of the barrel. And so we celebrate the Epiphany and who the Epiphany was revealed to, who the birth of Christ was shown to. But then not only do we look at that today, we also look at the baptism of Christ, an event that would have happened right around the time when he was 30, right before he started his public ministry and before he went out and really did anything that we have record of. At the baptism, we hear the Lord God at the time saying, or at the time of his baptism saying, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then we see the dove descending out of heaven and landing on Christ. And there's something spectacular about that moment. Although it was interesting, I hadn't thought about this until I read a book earlier this week called The Liturgy of the Ordinary. And the first chapter talks about the baptism of Christ. And one of the questions that the author raises was, what had Jesus done up to this point? Oh, really, we don't have a whole lot of record of what he did up to this point, other than being born and getting lost, or his parents losing him at the temple. We really don't know much of what Jesus' life had been like for those 27 years leading up to this. And so between the Magi visiting him and worshiping him and his baptism, who knows what Christ was up to? Who knows what it was that he had been doing? This, like I said, this event took place before he started his public ministry. And yet, even though he had done nothing of record that we know of, here we see the Father saying, "This is my Son, my beloved. In him I am well pleased." And one of the things that I like about celebrating this day is it calls us to remember our own baptisms. For those of us that have been baptized, and if you've not been, feel free to talk to me after service, as it is an important Christian rite and action. As we think about our own baptisms, we think about the fact that we have been baptized into the same baptism that Christ was baptized. It's a whole lot of the word baptized there. As we think about it, we think about the fact that Christ purified all the waters that we would later come to be baptized in. And as we are baptized in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we would be baptized into this very same baptism that Christ is doing for us. You know, I remember once in college, we were talking about this, and I remember my first thought was, why the heck was Christ baptized? Because I had been taught as a young child that baptism was about us being cleansed of our sins. And although that's part of it, baptism is also about repentance. It's more about being marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit as being one of God's very own. That Christ, who had no sin and who knew no sin, was baptized because he was being marked and sealed as God's very own. And likewise, when we are baptized, it's because God is marking us as his own. We are being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so it follows that as Christ was baptized, so our baptism follows as well. That what happened in his baptism is what happens in our own. That when we were baptized, whether we were baptized as an adult or whether as a teenager or as a child or as an infant, when we were baptized, God the Father Almighty looked down and said, "This is my son, this is my daughter, my beloved, in you I am well pleased." We are sealed with the Holy Spirit and we are marked as Christ's very own, the beloved child of God. Which is interesting to me because often, if not always, we had nothing to do with that. Actually, it is always. We don't have anything to do with that. No matter what we have done or what we have thought or who we have been, Christ has said, "This is my beloved. With you I am well pleased." I know many were baptized as infants, and so they don't cognitively recall the actual day of their baptism or what it was like. There are others who have been baptized, and they don't really remember the day, or they don't remember much about what happened. But that's okay, because it was nothing of our own accord that made that baptism something special. But rather, it was the fact that God blessed us with these words and that God poured out His Spirit upon us at this time. There is nothing that we did before and or after that made us beloved children of God. It was rather, God has just called us His beloved children, and it is our duty to then live into what that means. And so these two events that we celebrate today reminds us that God loves us. God loves us where we are, and God beckons us to come and receive. As with the Magi, God beckoned them to come and worship the Christ child just as He beckons us. And just as with Christ, before Christ had even began His ministry, God looked at Him and said, "This is my Son, my beloved. In Him I am well pleased." He looks at us the same way and says, "This is my Son, this is my daughter, my beloved children. In you I am well pleased. Now go and do the work of the kingdom." And I think that says something as to what we believe and to who we are. I know I have a number of friends that they often think that they're too far gone to step into the foot of the church, which, as we see in Christ's baptism, that's just silly, because God loves us and God calls us. He doesn't expect change until we have come to know who He is, and that God meets us where we are, and then God brings us closer and closer to Christ. One of my favorite hymns, and I've quoted it numerous times since I've been here, is Charles Wesley's hymn, "Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast." And I think that sums up well God's feeling towards us. And so in Charles's hymn, he says, "Come sinners to the gospel feast, let every soul be Jesus's guest. Ye need not one be left behind, for God hath bid all humankind. Sent by my Lord, on you I call. The invitation is to all. Come all the world, come sinner thou. All things in Christ are ready now. Come all ye souls by sin oppressed, ye restless wanderers after rest, ye poor and maimed and halt and blind, in Christ a hearty welcome find. My message as from God receive, ye all may come to Christ and live. Oh, let His love your hearts constrain, nor suffer Him to die in vain. This is the time, no more delay. This is the Lord's accepted day. Come thou this moment at His call, and live for Him who died for all." If you would pray with me real quickly, and then we will participate in something that I think we should do at least yearly, and that is to remember the vows that we made in our baptism. So if you would pray with me this morning. Father in heaven, who at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan proclaimed Him your beloved Son and anointed Him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all who are baptized into His name may keep the covenant that they have made and boldly confess Him as Lord and Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. And on the screen, so whether or not this actually happened, when we are baptized, we are entering into a covenant. we're entering into a contract between ourselves and between God. And it is good to recall what that covenant is. So if you would join with me this morning in renewing our baptismal vows, and one of the ways we can also do that is water is a symbol of baptism. You'll notice every week we have a small pitcher of water up front that just reminds us that we have been baptized. In many churches, it's right outside the sanctuary door so that as people come in, they can touch it and they can remember their baptism physically. And so that's part of why we keep water up here, so that every week, if we would like, we can remember our baptisms. But I think it's good to at least yearly speak out what it is that we have proclaimed in our baptism. So I'll read the unbolded part, and if you would respond with the parts in bold, this is the covenant that we've made with God when we were baptized. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in God, the Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
I will.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, God help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, God help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all your persons, or in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourselves?
I will, God help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? These are our covenantal vows that we have made in baptism. Remember your baptism.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.